I was going to speak on some verses from Hebrews 10 this evening, the same verses that have been read to us by Chris and prayed through. What we'll do is leave that till another time. And I just want to say a few words about communion from 1 Corinthians 11. And the reading is 1 Corinthians 11 from verse 23, very familiar words. We read these on a regular basis. They are rarely preached upon in my experience. And so just for 10 minutes, a few things from these words. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, and in my version of the Church Bible, it's on page 810. The Apostle Paul says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give you further directions." Three things about communion from these verses. First of all, the encouragement to recognize the body. This is in verse 29. "For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on themselves." What does this mean? In some traditions and in quite a bit of thinking, it is taken as not recognizing that the bread and the wine are in some sense the body and blood of Christ. And the examining yourself is usually taken as an encouragement to self-examination, to look inside ourselves, to see if there's anything wrong, to confess that before we come to communion. I do think that self-examination is a good thing, and we should be doing this, and we should be reflecting on how we are with God as we come to take the bread and the wine. But I don't think that's what this is saying here. If we move on just to the end of the verses that I've read, we read this in verse 34. "If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment." And the verse immediately before, "When you come together to eat, wait for each other." And what seems to have been happening in Corinth is that there were different classes within the church, people with different opportunities, different ties. And in particular, there were those, probably those who were slaves or who were bondservants of some sort, who had to do regular work on a Sunday before they came to the meeting. And those who were better off, those who had more freedom, were coming together and they were having the agape meal, the love feast, and they were They were celebrating communion together before the others arrived. And when those who were poorer turned up, they hadn't got the opportunity to eat and share. And this is a scandal for Paul, because communion, of all places, is the place where we come together as God's people and we share together as one people of God. And so when he talks about not recognizing the body of the Lord, my strong conviction is that he's actually talking about the church. The context of this, particularly what he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 12 about body ministry, he is talking about the church. And so not recognizing the body of the Lord is not recognizing that we are one as God's people. And communion is the place where we specially do that. And so the encouragement is to think about the horizontal dimension of communion as we come together. It's not just communion between me and my Lord, although there is something about that that is going on that is so important, but it's also recognizing one another. It's also sharing with one another. Spurgeon said this, that when we come to communion, we need not only to be aware of the presence of the Lord, but we need to be aware of the presence of one another. This is something that we do together. And so we recognize one another. We recognize the body of Christ as we come together. Secondly, we remember the Lord. And this is in verses 24 and 25. Very familiar words. We come and we remember the Lord. We remember Christ as we take the bread and as we drink the wine. And this is something, again, that I think we often get wrong. We think, I used to find it so confusing, you know, how can I have forgotten that Jesus died on the cross? How can I have forgotten that he rose again? They're key things, and it's not an easy thing to forget, you know, the Christian belief. But actually, there is a deeper remembering that is encouraged here. Because the cross and resurrection, Jesus' death for us, and his rising again from the dead, are not just facts to remember, but they are truths that shape the whole of our life as Christian men and women. Speaking earlier last week at Leeds Trinity Christian Union, and the passage that they gave me was Ephesians 2, and the verse in there where Christ is described as the cornerstone. And just reflecting on that and reflecting on the meaning of cornerstone, the cornerstone is the most important stone in the building from which everything else takes its bearing. The cornerstone, the other stones run out from that. The foundations are based on that. You move up from that. Without the cornerstone, the building is nothing. And the building rises and moves out from this cornerstone. Christ and the gospel affects everything. And this is what we remember. This is what we need to remember when we come together. Christ and the gospel affects everything. It shapes everything. It is to shape the whole of our lives. And when we come to communion, we see that the way on in the Christian life is the gospel and it's Christ. Maybe to help to explain this, just to think of two people who are coming to communion, two Christian people. And imagine someone over this side who's been going on really well in the Christian life, and it's been a wonderful time, and they've led someone to Christ during the week. They've been able to make a stand for Christ at work during the week. Things have gone well. And that person is reminded that they don't get beyond the grace of God, that they don't get beyond the gospel, that they need forgiveness and grace day by day. But also, there might be someone over this side, and not at all thinking about size. Let's imagine someone over there, an imaginary, mythical person who's over in the corner where the children usually are. And that person has had a lousy week. Everything has gone wrong. They've messed up that sinful habit that they thought they'd got beyond. They've done it again. They've lost their rag with someone. They've missed opportunities to witness for Christ. And they are wondering, is there grace really for me? And when they come to communion, they are reminded that there is grace for them. There is a need for grace, and no one is beyond the grace of God. Older preachers used to talk about the level ground at the foot of the cross. And you have someone who is a mature believer. You have someone who is a struggling believer. You have someone who is a fearful believer. You have a Christian leader. You have someone who has very, very different gifts. And each and every one comes to the level ground at the foot of the cross. It is grace and gospel. And it is this that we remember as we come. And actually, although we may not forget the actual facts, Jesus died, although we may not forget Jesus rose again, we so often forget that it's all of grace and all of God, that it is grace and gospel from first to last. The way into the Christian life is the way on in the Christian life. It's not that we come by the gospel and we receive that and we move on to something else. It is grace and gospel and Jesus from beginning to end and in the middle as well. It is all to do with grace, and it is this that we remember. And finally, we experience the wonderful presence of Jesus. This is my body. This is the blood of the new covenant, Jesus says, and Paul repeats these words. And may be aware that in some traditions there is a strong emphasis on the bread and the wine turning in some way, and there's all sorts of nuanced views, into the body and blood of Christ. And the idea of transubstantiation in the Roman Catholic Church is something that you may have heard of. And that's not my view. You may be relieved to hear that, some of you, but that's not my view. But what happens sometimes, and this happened historically, that those who were Protestant, those who were Baptist, those who were more evangelical, backed away from any sense of God's presence with us as the bread is broken and the wine is poured out. Sort of a reflex action against the other view that there might be some magical thing that happens here. And so there is basically no understanding of the presence of Christ. But actually, that's not Calvin's view. A Reformed theologian. That's not Spurgeon's view. What these people recognized is that Jesus is alive, he died for us, and he is powerfully present by the Holy Spirit as the bread is broken and the wine is poured out. And he meets with us. He meets with us in so many other ways as well. He meets with us in Christian baptism. He meets with us in worship. He meets with us as the Word of God is opened and proclaimed. He meets with us day by day by the Holy Spirit. But here he meets with us too. And he reminds us, he reassures us of his love for us. He comes to us and he makes his word alive. And for me personally, a word of testimony just to close, that communion has sometimes been a really thin place for me, a time where God has come and perhaps particularly given assurance. You know, I've messed up in the past week, things have gone wrong, maybe I am feeling fearful. And God just comes and you hear the words afresh, the words of Jesus. This is my body, which is for you. Yeah, it's for the person behind you, and it's the person in front of you, and it's the person sitting either side of you. But it's also for you. Yes, it's for the whole church, but it's for you personally. I love you. I have called you. I've got a plan and purpose for you. God meets with us in these times of communion. So we recognize his body, we recognize one another, we recognize that each one of us is special to God, and we want to honor one another in the body of Christ. We're reminded of that as we come to communion. We remember the Lord. In particular, we remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ shapes everything that we do. It shapes our life together as God's church, and it shapes how we press on in the Christian life. And we experience his presence because Jesus has promised to be with us as we worship. Jesus has promised to be with us as we take communion together. And so we receive assurance and strength as we press on in our Christian lives. In just a moment, Paul is going to come up and lead us. But perhaps if I just lead us in a prayer as we reflect on these things and as we prepare our hearts for communion. Lord, we thank you for one another. We thank you that you've brought us together as the body of Christ here in this place. Thank you that you've brought us together this evening. And we recognize one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord, all who have put their faith and trust in you. And we recognize that everybody here tonight is deeply loved by you. Father, we pray that we would find faithful and creative ways to honor one another in the body. And Lord, we thank you that we can remember you this evening. Thank you that you died and rose again for us, and that these great gospel truths are to shape the whole of our lives. Thank you that there is always grace for us, and thank you that we never get beyond your grace. And so empty, we turn to you again and pray that you would pour your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your strength, your wisdom, and your help and your hope into our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you are powerfully present with us. Lord, warm our hearts, come to us and reassure us of your love. Thank you that you meet with us by the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you write your law on our hearts, as we have heard. Thank you that you're living and active. Thank you that you're interested in our lives. Thank you that you have called us into relationship with you. Thank you that you assure us that nothing can take us out of your hands. Lord, remind us, reassure us, meet with us, we pray. So, Lord, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your amazing grace. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.